The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
This is a real treat for you and for us. We're excited because Congressman Drew Ferguson is with us from Southside Atlanta, our old stomping ground. And this was kind of Newt Gingrich's old district, and it was Lynn Westmoreland's district. And it's always good to talk with old friends from GA. And I know the Speaker Burkholder was tuning in today to hear Drew Ferguson. So, Speaker, good to have you with us. And we think you should run for Congress, but he says, no way, I'm not going up there in that swamp. But anyway, Congressman, great to have you.
Glad to be with you this morning.
Okay, so we were really excited. The Congressman remembers the Beacon newspaper that Ann and I owned. I don't know, I guess we'd call it a labor of love until it destroyed our family and finances. But but everybody knew the Beacon. Right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it was something that we all knew. It was, I'm a huge fan of local media.
That was local media
at its best. So.
Yeah, that was. We did. We exposed corruption, the Roswell police, and we did this huge high school football thing annually that went like about 150,000 copies we printed up, but it was a lot of fun. But we could not survive the recession, I'll never forget the day. I always tell the story when our local bank, we had a local community bank that was financing our company, and we had a line of credit, which is what we use to meet payroll and everything, and things that go up and down cash flow wise. And I remember the guy called me up during the bank crash. And he said, I have to eliminate your line of credit because I'm out of alignment with whatever it was going on back then. And I'm like, well, that's going to put me out of business. And he says, I love you, but the alternative is they'll come in and shut us down. I got to do this to everybody. And I had like a one-day notice. A lot of people forget about how bad that meltdown was.
Yeah, the meltdown was bad, and I think and it created such a problem with community banks.
Exactly.
And smaller banks, and the federal government went to a one-size-fits-all model, and quite candidly, I can tell you, I was going through the process of rebuilding a community, and one of the challenges that we had was lack of access to capital, and it really did hurt small businesses. And I can tell you the thing that I learned over my career as a small-town mayor, as a dentist, and living in a community that lost its manufacturing base, I can tell you the most important thing that we focus on up here are jobs. And that is why the USMCA is such a vitally important piece of legislation that we've got to get passed.
Well, why can't we get it passed? Nancy Pelosi has the votes, right? There's 31 Democratic congressmen that won in Trump districts. Many of those are going to vote for it. You have the votes to pass it. It's going to vote in the Senate. But Congressman Ferguson, why does it just sit on her desk? I mean, I keep asking this question. We can't get a straight answer.
You know, I'm becoming more optimistic that it's going to get done. I had the pleasure of traveling to Canada with the Chairman Richie Neal. The Ways and Means Committee met with Justin Trudeau, their foreign minister, had a chance to meet with their trade minister. The thing that I kept hearing is that they want to get this done. I think they're trying to find a way. There are two things, John, that I think that they're trying to solve. Number one, how do they go through this impeachment process and legislate at the same time? And they haven't proven that they can do that. So I think that there's a little sense of determination that they can take the president's legislation and do something with it. And look, that's a great thing. No matter if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, this trade deal is good for America, and it needs to get done. Here's the second thing. They are really focused on the labor provisions and the labor enforcement provisions in here. And this is the best agreement that we've ever seen. If you are involved in the labor movement, you should actually be jumping up and down and demanding that this gets passed. Adds a half a point to our GDP for a generation. Okay, half a basis point to our GDP. That's good for, that is great for the American worker. The second thing about this is that we are an integrated economy with Mexico and Canada. You look at the supply chains. If you're a Teamster, you want this. If you're an auto worker, you want this,
right?
Because it builds sustainability into it. I tell you, when I see labor leadership standing up and saying that this is not a good deal, number one, it's a heck of a lot better than what we've got right now. And number two, I think every provision, labor enforcement provision that we need is in here. So I really want them to explain how this gets better. And look, if there's a reasonable pathway, we're all for it.
Sure. Sure. Well, look, you have a divergence now, as you know, Congressman Drew Ferguson, between labor and union members and high-ranking union leadership. I mean, there's a real disconnect there. And that's why, you know, a state like ours, we live in Virginia, which has a right to work rule, but we're a burgeoning union state because it's voluntary. We have people that want to join the union, and their leadership is much more responsive to the membership in a right to work state simply because it's voluntary. You can opt out. So then, therefore, union leadership has to be responsive to its members. When you make it mandatory or compulsory, then the leadership takes your money. They don't really give a rat's tail what you say because you have to give them the money. You have to be a member in order to work. Big difference.
Yeah, and look, I think it's pretty remarkable that most of the American workers right now side with the President of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, you've said, I think you
absolutely
have, you have said this very clearly. Rank and file members,
right,
that are out there working every single day are on the side with the President. I had a great meeting in my office, in my district office, with the local Teamsters group. And it was really interesting. They came in as about seven or eight folks.
In Noonan, Georgia,
district office down there. They came in, and it was really interesting. This one older guy looked at me, and he said, now listen, he said, the guy over here, and he pointed to the union leader, he said, this guy over here, he's a Democrat. But he said, the rest of us, we're with the President. And I thought that was pretty remarkable. This is a local Teamster member,
right,
of the union that is sick, that is calling out his boss for being with Pelosi, and they're saying, don't listen to him, we're with the President. So I've got firsthand experience in seeing that. But bottom line, here's what's got to happen. We got to get to a point coming up, I think probably when we get back from Thanksgiving recess, where we have got to have enough Democrats put pressure on Pelosi to ask for this bill or to allow it to go through. I think it gets there because for two reasons. Number one, fundamentally, it's good for the country. That's really, really important. The second thing is that, as you've pointed out, you've got a lot of Democratic members that have campaigned on being responsible, that have been to be
right,
moderate, middle of the road,
that's
to get
right,
something done. Not one of their major pieces of legislation will get signed into law. They can talk about all of these messaging bills that they've passed like something's actually going to happen. But the American people know that nothing is getting done up here. This is the one chance that they've got in some of these districts to go back and say, hey, I got something done. And you know what? This deal is good enough. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. We want you to vote for it because we think it's good for the American worker.
So they're going to have to go to the voters in 2020 with what? Nothing. I mean, they have nothing to go to the voters with. Impeachment, which is going to fail. I mean, what does Pelosi go to the voters with in 2020?
You know, that's a good question right now because I don't think that there's a record of success in the House right now.
They've literally done nothing.
They have spent all of their time investigating the President, the Mueller investigation, now this ridiculous witch hunt that they're going down with impeachment. I think most people, when I go back home and go back to the 3rd District of Georgia, number one, if they're paying attention at all, they look at it like it's a joke, and they fundamentally understand that it's unfair. What's happening to the president right now should not happen to any American citizen. And I think when you talk to when I talk to my folks back home, and we describe it in the sense that, could you imagine being a defendant in a courtroom where you had a defense attorney that wasn't allowed to say a single word, and you had to listen to a prosecutor tell a jury that was made up of folks like Max Rose from New York, who said if he is innocent, all he has to do is prove it. Can you imagine how you would feel? And that's exactly what's happening to the president of the United States. And if they'll do it to the president, God help what they, God knows what they do to you.
You're on the John Fredericks Radio Network, trucking the truth across America. I'm your Godzilla of the truth. We're live at the White House today. We're chatting with Congressman Drew Ferguson from Noonan, Georgia. He replaced General Lynn Westmoreland, who retired. Hey, Congressman, Noonan, Georgia. Okay, so this summer, my son is on a high school travel baseball team, and we played a baseball game at Noonan Stadium.
Yes.
And it was we went by and looked at the football stadium. I just got to draw this picture. The Noonan High School football stadium is like going to a college game in the SEC, right? Huge stadium, artificial turf, luxury suites, boxes. I mean, what a beautiful stadium that is. And the baseball stadium was gorgeous.
Yeah, football.
It's big.
High school athletics is huge in Georgia, as it is many places around the country. But the Noonan High School is referred to as the Big House.
And
the Noonan Cougars, and they defend the Big House. But it really is a remarkable facility, great environment, great place to watch a game, great rivalries that are in that area.
It seemed like a lot of fun. It seemed like most of it was done with private funding because they had companies names on it. People, you know, boxes up there, the suite boxes up there. It seemed like
you've got a lot of a lot of private dollars that flow into that. But also they use something called a special purpose local option sales tax, which is something that the voters vote on. And so,
in the local community.
And so the
they were telling me that.
And the
local
local community decided that taxing themselves 1 cent was worth it to do these various projects.
That's right.
I think if you're going to tax, I want to be able to say I'm taxing myself.
And
it was just the local.
That's right, because I remember asking about it because I was so shocked by how gorgeous the facilities were. And I remember because the Noonan team was there participating. I remember one of the parents saying, "Well, we voted for this."
Yeah.
And if you're a resident of Noonan, you know, you have an up or down vote, and we voted, yeah, pennies worth it to get all this for our kids and the future after we leave. So I thought that was interesting. Is it definitely a plebiscite way of doing government?
Yeah, it's right? keep it
you
local.
You don't get that in Washington.
No, you don't. You don't. This is. So I'm in my second term, and
you like it?
Yeah, you know I am. I think it's. I'm having a good time with it. I enjoy it. I try to keep the perspective. I'm one of 435 people in the whole world who get to do what I do every day. So we should treat the job with respect. We should be thoughtful in it. We should enjoy it. And the day that you don't enjoy it and can't put your best foot forward, you need to go home. And so right now I'm still having a good time with it. You know, despite a lot of the nonsense, and truly it is nonsense of what's happening on the other side of the aisle right now with the Democratic Socialists, there's still a desire to have meaningful conversation on tax, on trade, on health care. And it's so frustrating because what we've seen in a very short period of time, John, is we will pass bipartisan legislation out of committee, and Pelosi strips it and puts in partisan legislation. We have seen that on retirement savings. We saw this on prescription drug prices.
Right.
And we've seen it on federal background check conversations. Nothing bipartisan is going to get through the House of Representatives. Pelosi doesn't want it. She wants partisan votes so that she can stand up and say Republicans voted against this. That's not the way to govern. That's not the way to lead. And it's a poor example to set for the rest of the country. And I tell you what, I think the American people are going to see through that. At the end of the day, they like things that are fair. They like transparency. And by God, they like results. And who's doing that for them right now? Donald J. Trump.
Congressman, how is impeachment playing in your district?
It's not going over very well. People, number one, see that it is in fact a sham. They're much more interested in us passing the USMCA than they are impeachment. They are concerned about about issues around the kitchen table, and they are quite candidly, now that they've seen how it's unfolding, the voters that are paying attention to it, they're pretty mad about it. They see it as an unfair process, and they're pushing back against it. And they simply, the support for the president there has not wavered.
Has the media been fair to you, Congressman Ferguson?
We don't worry about whether or not they're fair. We go out and we do our job. We do it in a fair and honest way. And I'm sure that there's some folks in the media that don't want to see us be successful. But that goes with the territory. Every now and then I get the pleasure of coming on the show with someone like you and get treated fairly. As someone that is a big advocate for local media and local markets, we have to have an honest and transparent media. They've got to be the fair arbiter in all of this. You have to have someone that is willing to go in and do the investigations, to get down to the truth, to do it the right way for the American people. And what's so frustrating right now is you don't see that at the national level at all. There is not one single media outlet out there that I've seen that has really done a good faith effort of digging into every single part of these topics that we're discussing right now. And you know who the biggest loser in all of that is the American people.
Congressman Drew Ferguson, 3rd District, Georgia. That's the Newnan, Georgia area, just southwest Atlanta. Former district of Lindwist-Moreland, and then Newt Gingrich before Gingrich had to move to Roswell, where we lived, and he represented us for a very long time. Congressman, just a couple more questions, and then we're going to let you take off. The president is going to get impeached, no question. Two counts. They don't have anywhere near 67 votes in the Senate. But what are they impeaching him for?
You tell me. I have no idea. I mean, I go through this. We look at it. I am sure that they will have some sort of charge that they come up with. If they're going down this road right now, and they are pushing as hard as they can on this phone call with the Ukrainian president, I mean, it's a dead end. So I think that they're going to come back and probably do it around some sort of obstruction charge, which, if I were the president, I wouldn't participate in this sham process either.
Right.
I have no legal protections in it. I have no political protections in it. You're going to walk down into that. You're going to walk down into the skiff with Schiff and give a deposition in that bed of snakes. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. So again, if that's the way, there's nothing that's been done. That's happened on the phone call with the Ukrainian president, and you're gonna say, oh, he's obstructing justice because he won't come into a sham process. Good luck with that with the American people. I think the president comes out of this in pretty good shape.
Is this gonna backfire on Pelosi?
I think so. I think it will.
All right. Final thing. This, I know you have to take off. Georgia. We spent a lifetime there. Raised our two older children there. Is President Trump going to carry Georgia again in 2020?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Georgia is still a conservative state. It is right of center. And if you have with good candidates and hard work, it's still a Republican state. And I think that I think the president does well there. I think Senator David Perdue does well there. You got to remember, our
governor is going to get reelected.
Brian Kemp, who is our governor now, was up against the world. Okay, he had Obama and Holder spending tens of millions of dollars against him. A rigged campaign by Stacey Abrams. It was is like nothing you've ever seen before, and he still won. And that tells me the state is still a conservative state. And I can tell you this: the people, the voters in Georgia, they're highly motivated. They're with the president. They're going to turn out. They want to support our president. I'll tell you real quickly a transformation that I've seen with the voters down there. We used to jokingly say that, you know, Donald Trump is neither Republican or Democrat. He's America's middle finger to D.C. You know, I mean, really.
I love that.
But it's true. Right. It's true. People are so tired of what's been happening up here, whether it's been in their bureaucracy, whether it's an administration, Congress. People are just tired of it.
Right.
Our people were fine for him to come up here and blow it up. Okay? And that was his number one mission. But here's the change. They want him to be successful now and rebuild in the country. And there's a difference between blowing up D.C. and quite candidly rebuilding the nation. And our folks want the president to be successful. And they're with him. They're with me. They're with David Perdue. We feel good about that election. It's not going to come easy. But we're going to go out there and fight every single day because we know it's the right thing to do for the country. America is not a socialist country, and we're not going to let a small group of far-left liberal ideologues take over this country.
Can you win the 6th district back?
Yes, we can.
You
yes, we can.
Preferred candidate?
Any Republican that gets through there is preferred to someone that is going to support the socialist agenda of Nancy Pelosi, as Lucy McBath has.
Our buddy just dropped out. Beach, he was our buddy. He dropped out.
Yeah, I saw that.
Beach dropped out. So he was raising money, but I guess he had some internals. Or I don't know. I haven't talked to him.
I have no idea. Good guy. Served the state well and wish him well.
Now, when were you in the state house?
I wasn't.
You were not a state.
I was not. I came right out of local office. Was the mayor of West Point, Georgia, for 8 years, and had a family dental practice down there. And
did you have to be Lynn's daughter? Did she run for?
No, she ran for a state house seat in a special election just a few months ago.
Did she win?
No, she did not. She did not.
Nepotism doesn't fly in Georgia.
No. People are very independent down there. But I will tell you,
thanks for filling me in on all.
Yeah,
so, all the detail.
Georgia's a great place, as you well know. It's a great state.
Now we love Georgia. When we
and
were there.
One of the reasons that we're fighting so hard on this USMCA is
for Georgia. It's really help Georgia.
Georgia's economy,
dairy farmers, and
manufacturing.
Right.
Port of Savannah, our transportation network. I mean, we are the logistics hub for the Southeast. It's the USMCA and the work that the president and his team have done on this. It's going to benefit our citizens greatly.
All right. Now, when was the last time you talked to Representative Austin Scott?
Over the weekend.
Tell him John Frederick said hi.
I will do it.
Yeah,
I will do it.
Sometimes I lose track, but he ran for governor.
Yeah,
as
I remember
you know,
that.
Back then, and we had him on our show all the time. He did that walk, like a 1,000-mile walk or something. I don't know how he did that. But, back in the day, he used to come on our show all the time. In fact, we sponsored a debate back then that I thought he did marvelously at. But, all good stuff. Congressman Drew Ferguson, we have to have you back. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed being with y'all and appreciate the opportunity this morning.
See, and this is the thing. Small mayor, mayor of a town, comes to Washington. I mean, I just love that. That's why you appreciate local media so much.
I do. Right. It's important. So, but thank you.
All right, Congressman Ferguson, you're on the John Frederick's Radio Network live at the White House.
The John Frederick Show.
And they started their dirty aggression against this country.
November 23rd, 2001. The UN War Crimes Tribunal says it will try former Yugoslav President Slobodan Milosevic for genocide in Bosnia. It's the first time that a court links Milosevic to the murders of thousands of non-Serbs and the displacement of 250,000 people. Milosevic dies nearly 4.5 years later while his trial is still in progress. 2004. In Ukraine, opposition leader Viktor Yushchenko declares himself winner of a disputed presidential election. He takes a symbolic oath of office while thousands of his supporters demonstrate in the capital, Kiev. Yushchenko wins a court-ordered revote the following month. 1936. Life, the weekly photojournalism magazine created by Henry Luce, the publisher of Time magazine, first hits newsstands. And 1903. Singer Enrico Caruso makes his American debut at New York's Metropolitan Opera House, appearing in Rigoletto. Today in history, November 23rd. Tim McGuire, the Associated Press.
Talk radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. President Donald Trump is tweeting his satisfaction with the firing of Navy Secretary Richard Spencer. Pentagon Chief Mark Esper fired Spencer on Sunday over Spencer's handling of the case of a Navy SEAL whom the president has defended. The president also tweets that he will nominate the U.S. ambassador to Norway, retired Rear Admiral Kenneth Braithwaite, to replace Spencer as Navy Secretary. The pro-democracy opposition appears to have swept to a resounding victory in Hong Kong elections as a record turnout dealt a clear rebuke to city leader Carrie Lam and her handling of violent protests that have divided the Chinese territory. Votes still being counted Monday morning, but Hong Kong media tallied the pro-democracy camp had easily won a majority in the vote. Billionaire Democrat Michael Bloomberg running for president in an already crowded Democratic field. This is SRN News.
Sebastian Gorka here for Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-83.
Hi, it's Mac with Baker Glass. If you're having trouble finding a clear option for that new shower enclosure or a replacement for that fog glass, then call the Baker Boys or find us at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better. Hi, this is Mac with Baker Glass, where we use our more than 32 years of experience to provide a complete glass service to all of our customers and a clear choice for you. See for yourself at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better.
Does your furnace need repair, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, log on to handyman.homeadvisor.com. HomeAdvisor is a free online resource with instant access to top-rated remodelers, maids, handymen, roofers, and many other home contractors. It's easy and it's free. Just go to handyman.homeadvisor.com. Handyman.homeadvisor.com. That's handyman.homeadvisor.com.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio.
Turn your radio on.
Have you heard? The Ted and Sandy Gospel Program can be heard every Sunday from 7 to 8 a.m. on WBOB. Ted and Sandy guarantee to play you some of the best in Southern Gospel, Bluegrass Gospel, and Country Gospel available. They'll give you words of encouragement in your daily life, announce gospel sings, and church events in our area, and much more. Tune in every Sunday morning at 7, right here on WBOB.
Congressman Morgan Griffith, Republican, 9th District of Virginia. Congressman, you're on the line.
Hey, good to be with you. How are you?
Okay, Congressman. Look, I just want to get your take. You know, Joe Morrissey said something earlier that has riveted me. So I just want to get your reaction to it because it's like, wow, he's the first person I hear to say this. He said, isn't it interesting that all the Democrats, and Joe's a Democrat, all the Democrats are seeing the same evidence at the same time, and they're in the same caucus. The Democrats that are in safe districts are already for impeachment. Those that are in swing districts say they haven't made up their mind, they need more information. But they're all seeing the same evidence. He said, is that not the epitome of this is a partisan witch hunt? Because they're all seeing the same evidence. What's the difference? What district they're in? Does that make sense?
Well, it does make sense when you understand, and I know you do, that this is just a political exercise. It is not about high crimes and misdemeanors. It's about trying to make it looked like President Trump did something horrid, horrible, awful, etc., to affect the 2020 elections. And so they are using foreign policy to affect the 2020 elections. But that's why you have that difference with the safe Democrats and the people in the not so safe seats saying, "Yeah, I want to hear more evidence." Now, I think they'll all end up voting that way because of the fear of primary fights. But the bottom line is that this is a political exercise, not one to find out if there was a high crime or misdemeanor.
Let me just ask you something. All this, the hours and hours of testimony here in the Intel Committee, and not a single question about Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, Biden's tape, $1 billion of aid. Help me understand, why is there something that Biden has to hide? I mean, isn't it?
And that is the question. You know, it has bothered me for some time. Why are they doing this? And I think the American people have to ask the question, why are the Democrats doing this? We know it's a political endeavor, but why would they launch it when they did? Why were they looking for it? I mean, I know that they've been after the president since the beginning, but this has negative implications for Joe Biden. I think it's already taken him out of the front runner spot. I know there are changes in the polls back and forth, but the question can be asked. They are the ones who said, dig up dirt. President Trump never said that. They are the ones who have accused him of trying to dig up dirt on Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. So the question is there dirt we don't know about? I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But the question has to be asked. They are so vehement in trying to make it look like Trump did it. Trump did something bad in trying to, in their words, dig up dirt. Trump just said there was an investigation, as you've heard me say before, there was an investigation that was stopped by one administration. Joe Biden carried that message. He shouldn't have, because his son was involved. But if that's all there is, it's just inappropriate. So where's the dig up dirt? There's no dirt to dig up. And as my 13-year-old would say, or is there? And that's a question American people have to ask as this thing continues. If there is no dirt to dig up, what is Joe Biden worried about? What are the Democrats worried about?
Right.
Maybe there's something there we don't have any idea about, and if you put Hunter Biden on the stand, all of a sudden something else slips out. I don't know what they have to be afraid of. Hunter Biden goes on and says, look, yeah, it was a sweetheart deal. They made me a deal. I never talked to my dad about it because I didn't want to be involved in that kind of stuff, but I wanted the money. Okay, welcome to America. You can make money. Somebody's foolish enough to pay you. Fine. You know, there's no dirt there. It may be look bad. And the president, the vice president, Biden, should never have intervened with his son working for that company. But again, it shows a lack of judgment. But again, it's not the end of the world. So what dirt are they talking about?
You know, that's the second thing I learned today. That's an interesting perspective, because if there's no dirt, what could they dig up? I mean, Joe Biden made the statement on tape that he said you had to fire the prosecutor. You got 6 hours, or I'm taking a plane back and I'm taking my $1.1 billion in taxpayer guaranteed loan funds with me. They said, well, you know, we talked to President Obama and he said it's fine. And Joe Biden said, well, here's the phone. Let's call him up if you don't think this is an accurate threat. But you're right. First of all, this is the other thing. If Hunter Biden does go on the stand, you ought to be his lawyer, because if he just said what you just said, that's his defense. Look, they wanted to pay me $3.5 million, $50,000 a month without any experience at all. Okay, I took the money. No crime. So what? I mean, there's no prosecution for that, right? He took the money.
No. Right. Unless he was telling them that he was going to give them influence inside the Obama administration, there is no crime. They want to pay him just because he hangs out with the cool kids at the White House. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's only if he's passing information along, or so they wanted to pay him.
Right.
You know, welcome to America where we're free, and if somebody's foolish enough to say, I want to pay you, $50,000 a month or whatever to be on our board, who amongst us would not take that job?
Okay, so there's another school of thought here that says that Pelosi was roped into this, and now she can't get out after what? This is the second week of public hearings. According to the Morning Consult political poll released yesterday, there's been a 10% drop in 1 week in independents that think this impeachment inquiry is a good idea. So now only 40% of independents are saying it's a good idea. 50% say it is not. And that's a 10% shift from a week ago. So does that give you an inkling that maybe, just maybe, average Americans are now looking at this and saying, you know, what in goodness names are we doing here?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's happening. And look, I know that I represent a very conservative area of the state. Yes. And, you know, outside of Blacksburg and Radford, they look at this as kind of, you know, what's going on. But even in my district, some of those people who are not Republican Party members, who are just average citizens on the street, they're like, look, I may not like everything that President Trump says, but let the man do his job. You got an right. issue on something, bring it up in the election, but don't, this is not impeachable. What are y'all doing?
Right.
And in the meantime, very little else is getting done.
You're on the John Fredericks Radio Network live in Washington, D.C., where with Congressman Virginia 9th District, Morgan Griffith. He represents the area that is basically from Roanoke all the way down to the end of the seat from Salem. Congressman, I know you're in a conservative district, but you're also served in the General Assembly in Virginia. You've always had the reputation of working with Democrats across the aisle where it made sense. Right now, this town is just immobilized, as you know, by the impeachment hearings going on. We can get nothing done. And I want to shift to Hong Kong. Yesterday, now we've got Hong Kong police working on the orders, we would assume, of the Chinese Communist government, now opening fire against students. I've had Fox on today. I've had CNN on as I'm, you know, scrolling through the stations since 5 a.m. I can't find a single story on it.
Well, I think the difficulty is that, you know, we don't have the ability to project our American military into Hong Kong. It is recognized, although very different, it is recognized as a part of China. And while we certainly disagree with them, and while the Chinese promised, but they always make promises that oftentimes they don't keep, more times than not, while the Chinese promised that Hong Kong would be an enclave for capitalism and a lot more freedoms, they have, you know, just about every year, slowly ratcheted down the freedoms. The citizens of Hong Kong are now reacting to that. They have the potential to kill one of their big economic centers, but I think that the ruling oligarchic communists are more afraid of freedom spreading across China and taking away their power than they are losing the economic push of Hong Kong.
Just it's sad to me that we are not covering this in a way that I think merits it. I mean, I was at a high school the other day talking to one of the civics classes in history, and one of the students asked me, you know, what is the Trump administration's position on Hong Kong? And I'm like, well, to keep it free. And this is a senior, and he said, well, how are you going to do that, and why isn't anybody talking about what is going on there? And I didn't really have an answer to that. And it's sad because what is going on in Hong Kong now, these are students that just want to live a life in freedom, and they see it eroding away. You know, their parents are getting older, so parents have lived through this, but they're young, they're in college, and they want to live a life of freedom as they've had. And they see that it's being eroded, and yet we don't do anything.
Well, and we're not talking about it, which really is an indictment of our media.
Exactly.
It's not new that we don't pay much attention to world affairs in America, and that's unfortunate. But 100 years from now, when they're writing the history of the era, people will scratch their heads on the footnote known as impeachment of President Trump, and they will study whatever the outcome is in Hong Kong will be studied because it is pivotal in the history of China, and it's pivotal in the history of world diplomacy and world economics. And that will be something that historians will study at great detail. Impeachment will be, you know, a monograph here and a PhD there, but it will be a backwater of history.
And Hong Kong is not. Interesting text from Amy in Fairfax, Congressman, who says the president wants to sign a big trade deal with China, so perhaps he's going to let Hong Kong go by the wayside, not to upset the Chinese and make the trade-off. Interesting perspective, and I hadn't really thought about that, but like Amy is saying, maybe the president's going to be a little softer with the Chinese on Hong Kong because he doesn't want to piss them off so he can get his deal done, a trade deal done.
Well, and that may be, but let's assume that the president is totally wanting to help Hong Kong. We can't send in the gunboats.
Right.
And start a major war with the Chinese. Right. That would be illogical.
Right.
And economic sanctions, we're already, you know, in an economic dispute with them.
Right.
So we really have, the president has no cards to play as I see it, mm-hmm. other than perhaps galvanizing world opinion.
Jawboning.
To condemn what's going on in Hong Kong. That's about it.
You're right. Other than using his bully pulpit and jawboning it to bring pressure against the Chinese to leave Hong Kong the way it is, there's not a lot of options. Although you do go back, I think it was the 80s, early 80s, when President Reagan was at the helm, and the Chinese communists were talking about getting Taiwan back in the fold, and they had, you know, big ships in the area and things of that. And I remember Reagan made this statement. He said, Taiwan is our ally, and we will defend them with every ounce of energy and resources that we have. And he deployed two aircraft carriers to the Taiwan Strait. So did anybody think we were going to go to war to protect Taiwan against Chinese aggression? Probably not. But Reagan did threaten it, and then it stopped. So... You know, there's two.
But
there's
the
two
difference
sides of it.
Is, Ty, there's enough water, not a lot, but there's enough water in between mainland China and Taiwan that, you know, we can separate it out and we can put boats over there and we can actually put our military there, and our military is already heavily invested there. We have none of those assets and none of those no geographic assets and no military establishments already in Hong Kong, which we did in Taiwan. So we don't have that same scenario.
All right. Let's get to Lee County. Okay. you represent it. I got to get your take on this. The sheriff in Lee County, Virginia, said that they would stand up to any state or federal officials that infringed upon gun rights. And then the Lee County Board of Supervisors voted 4-1 to make the county a Second Amendment sanctuary city, according to Sheriff Gay Parsons. This is an area of Virginia that you represent. He said the designation is a statement saying the county is a safe place for gun owners where their rights will not be taken away. The statement also means the county will not support any gun laws that try to take away any gun rights. Interesting. Counties.
Well, this is a direct message to Governor Northam, and you know they're not willing to crack down on potential sanctuary cities or counties for illegal aliens. But you're going to try to take away guns from people in Lee County, and there are other counties that have done it. That's the first that I know of in the 9th district. But I believe that Pennsylvania and Campbell, there are a couple of counties. I'll start naming them, get them wrong, maybe Bedford. But a couple of the counties have already done this, and Lee County's done it. All right, Governor, what you going to do? Because now you've got, if you're going to say you're going to enforce the law, you need to enforce all the laws. You need to start cooperating and have those counties cooperate with ICE if you're going to claim that you've got the authority to restrict gun rights in Virginia. It's going to be a hard road for Governor Northam. We'll have to see what he does.
So when the sheriff, when Sheriff Parsons says Lee County will be, when he says Lee County will be a sanctuary county for gun owners. So if there's a federal or state law passed restricting a gun ownership in some way, he is saying that he will defy that.
That's what it sounds like, and it sounds like what he's saying is, you know, we will not cooperate with any attempts to seize guns from the citizens of Lee County.
What if the governor then takes their money away, right, because there's certain, you know, state fundings that goes to every counties for school and stuff? What if he says, okay, well, the hell with you. We're going to cut your funding off. Can he do that?
He cannot do that under the Constitution. There may be other money. He can't take the school money away. But he might be able to take away some other money. He's not giving him any grants or something along those lines.
Right.
But then the question becomes, all right, what about the counties that aren't cooperating with ICE? Why aren't you doing something there?
Right.
If you're going to take away money, take that money away.
Right.
And, you know, look, there's a big divide, and Governor Northam has got to figure out whether he's the Governor Northam that we all knew who was fairly moderate, or whether he is merely a puppet of the far left. Stay tuned. We'll find out in January.
Well, Congressman, based on everything I've seen, he's a puppet of the far left. I mean, there's not a single thing he's done that's been moderate. And look, you know, when he was in the state Senate, he prided himself on being, he used to be a Republican, and then he was a moderate, and he would work across the aisle, and that was his style. But now, I haven't seen anything that Governor Northam has done that would lead me to believe that he's anything else except a complete tool of the far left. He's not rejected anything they've asked him to do. He's 100% on board with everything, including killing babies when they're out of the birth canal or whatever else he's doing. So I just don't see it. I have no confidence in him, and I just can't wait till he's out of there. I'm not sure who's going to end up governor in 2021, but I used to be a fan of his, and I'm sure you were also. I mean, he was, you know, I thought he was a good, level-headed guy, but now I'm just done with him, and I don't even believe anything he says. It's just, it's sad when you have somebody that you don't even believe. He gets on, says something, I don't believe anything he says. Sorry. I mean, that's just me. All right, we're almost out of time. Final thing here, Congressman, are we going to get a vote on USMCA in 2019, yes or no?
I think yes.
When?
I don't know the answer to that. Probably on December 20th, after they've done the impeachment, they have time to look at something besides impeachment all day.
After impeachment, they'll have a vote on USMCA. Some people said that Pelosi's going to have the vote on the same day, so that she gives Democrats the cover to vote for something they don't want to vote for and something they do want to vote for. Have you heard that rumor?
I have heard that rumor. I think it would be difficult to do. I believe there will be some procedural machinations that will slow that process down.
Really?
I mean, look, why would we as Republicans sit by and just let it happen easy peasy? I think it's our duty to the republic and to the country to stick sticks in the spokes of the Democrat process. And I'm not talking Democratic process. I'm talking about the party politics of Nancy Pelosi, and slow down that impeachment vote on the day they decide to bring it up. Why wouldn't we?
Interesting. So yesterday I had Vice President Mike Pence on my show, and I asked him twice, I assume the Democrats have the votes for impeachment. And he said, no, they don't. He said, that is not a foregone conclusion. He said, right now they don't have the votes. And then we went back to it a second time, and I'm like, well, the head count that we do, I mean, I don't see how he's not going to get impeached on two, maybe one, but he'll definitely be impeached. And again, the vice president said, John, that is not a foregone conclusion. There's a lot that can happen between now and then. And he said, at the end of the day, I'm not convinced that they're going to have the votes. Do you share that view?
I don't. I think they've got the votes. I think they had them lined up Nancy Pelosi is a good vote counter. Mm-hmm. And I think she had those votes lined up before she did the resolution. Maybe not before they started the secret, super secret clubhouse investigation in the basement.
The star chamber.
In the star chamber. But before she went to the floor with a resolution, which still made it super secret and no due process. But I think she had the votes before she went to the floor with that resolution.
Congressman Morgan Griffith, we're out of time. As always, we love having you on, and we appreciate your unabashed candor, sir. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And they started their dirty aggression against this country.
November 23rd, 2001. The UN War Crimes Tribunal says it will try former Yugoslav President Slobodan Milosevic for genocide in Bosnia. It's the first time that a court links Milosevic to the murders of thousands of non-Serbs and the displacement of 250,000 people. Milosevic dies nearly 4.5 years later, while his trial is still in progress. 2004. In Ukraine, opposition leader Viktor Yushchenko declares himself winner of a disputed presidential election. He takes a symbolic oath of office while thousands of his supporters demonstrate in the capital, Kiev. Yushchenko wins a court-ordered revote the following month. 1936. Life, the weekly photojournalism magazine created by Henry Luce, the publisher of Time magazine, first hits newsstands. And 1903. Singer Enrico Caruso makes his American debut at New York's Metropolitan Opera House, appearing in Rigoletto. Today in history, November 23rd. Tim McGuire, The Associated Press.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. Off from my city, off from my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. Come on, lock the way we rock it. So don't stop. And under the lights when everything goes. Nowhere to hide when I'm getting you close. Nothing I can see but you when you dance, dance, dance. Feel the good creeping up on you, so just dance, dance, dance. Come on, all those things I shouldn't do, but you dance, dance, dance. There ain't nobody leaving soon, so keep dancing.
You're listening to The John Frederick Show. Common sense for the Commonwealth. Online anytime at thejohnfrederickshow.com.